absolutely destroyed some of my relationships. Oh. You know, it's hit the reset button for me more times than I want to admit. But it's also given me fantastic opportunities and allowed me to meet people and influence people that I never would have otherwise.
Uncharted Performance is built by strength. Head over to strength.com and use the discount code UNCHARTED for 10% off at checkout on all their premium supplement products to fuel your training and enhance your performance without any extra fillers, artificial sweeteners, or banned substances. Including Catalyst, their NSF certified, chemical-free, hormone-free grass-fed whey. Fun fact of the day, since the FDA doesn't require dietary supplements to be tested before they are marketed, many supplements don't actually contain what they're supposed to contain. The NSF certification is the highest standard and ensures that supplements do not contain undeclared ingredients or contaminants. To earn NSF certification, products must undergo rigorous testing and inspection. Simply put, strength.com is a brand that you can trust. We certainly do. So get over to strength.com and use the code UNCHARTED for 10% off at checkout. Do you own a gym? Are you creating your own epic garage gym? Need top-of-the-line strength conditioning training equipment, including barbells, plates, kettlebells, sandbags, squat racks, rigs, strongman implements, powerlifting belts, all the accessories your heart desires, you name it. Jump to unchartedperformance.com, click the Rogue Fitness icon in the sidebar, and let your imagination run wild as you create the perfect training environment. Did somebody say free stuff? I think somebody said free stuff. Did they say free stuff? Yeah, they said free stuff. We have a bad habit of giving away free stuff here on Charter Performance. Be it apparel from Wad Nation, our good friends at Wad Nation, or barbells from Rogue Fitness. There's a giveaway or contest right around the corner. If you want to stay informed for your chance to win, or get notified when a fresh new episode of our video podcast drops before everybody else, sign up for our newsletter on unchartedperformance.com. We promise we won't tell anyone, as long as you don't. All right? That'll be our secret. So keep quiet. Shh. Hello, gorgeous people. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a beautiful day here today in Cleveland. Actually, it is it's a cooler day. It's about 64. The weather is pristine, not a cloud in sight. And it's an awesome breeze coming in from wherever. So make sure you enjoy the summer before it gets comes to a close too soon. I am your host, Paul Wenzel. And welcome to another episode of Uncharted Performance, where our mission is always to discover, explore, learn, and share knowledge from the best and the brightest in the fields of functional fitness, strength, nutrition, and wellness that you can apply inside and outside of the gym to elevate your performance. As a good friend of our show called us, we are the Lollapalooza of fitness and strength training. On this episode, I am joined by personal trainer, obstacle course racer, say that three times fast, a rock climber and trail runner, nature lover and purveyor of positive vibes, good friend Corey Smirk of iFitness. So who the fuck is Corey Smirk and why should you care who he is? Something that we make a light of a few times in our conversation. This episode in many ways was personally, was an education for me personally. Our guests have been kind enough to open up regarding very challenging situations and some difficult mental health conditions, and Corey's another such example, so I'm very grateful for that. He suffers from bipolar disorder, a condition, again, I know very little about and have basically no experience dealing with. I don't really know. I didn't know before Corey. I didn't know anyone that has opened up that actually has a disorder. It's such an honor that he has been willing and was willing to open up and share with us some of his darkest moments. But more importantly, out of that darkness, he has found an outlet that has helped him evolve by continually challenging, exploring himself every day in many ways, including getting outside on beautiful summer days, mornings and evenings. And more importantly, including through the service to others. I hope you can learn from this episode as much as I did. If you guys have a moment, please rate and review the show on iTunes. It means a ton and helps to give our guests gain more exposure. And for a shot to win your copy of the Squat Bible, make sure to tag us on Instagram or Twitter, whenever or wherever you are catching the show. Hopefully it's outside with your earbuds in your ears. With that said, let's find out who the fuck Corey Smirk really is. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Not really. I set people up to score.
Okay.
All right. Kind of like personal training, man. I mean, it's the exact same thing.
Great segue. Great opening. Paul Wenzel back with Uncharted Performance. We are here at Chima Athletic Club. If you're watching the video on YouTube, you see the awesome sign.
Tack Army.
Exactly. We're here with Corey Smirk. We're going to try to figure out why the fuck you're
working. Yeah, why?
Why are we here with Corey
Smirk? Who cares about me?
Who cares about Corey Smirk in a second? But quick shout out to Nick White.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Nick, for letting us use the facility, man. You rock.
Yeah, you beat us to it.
Place is second to none.
If you want to know the story behind TAC and learn a little bit more about Nick White, I think it's episode, I don't even remember.
I'm not sure.
So he's going to kill me for that. But we'll post it in the show notes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll refer
to it. It's awesome. It's worth the watch and figuring out how this place came to fruition.
Yeah, and how he has all these cool paintings on the walls as well.
Yeah, I love it.
But before we get to Corey, check out unchartedperformance.com. If you're listening on iTunes or Stitcher, make sure to leave a rating and a review. If you are watching on the website and you want to score some cool gear, we're actually our setup is on some soft padded rogue plyo boxes.
Need something more official?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But we are in a rogue affiliate, so check out the link, the little banner on the side, if you want to get some rogue gear,
some free gear.
Exactly,
can't pass it up.
And then Amazon products that we recommend that might help you be like Corey in the future.
I don't know if you want to be like me.
All right. You are obviously employed by TAC.
Yep.
You're a personal trainer here.
Yes, sir.
You're a fitness aficionado.
If you want to call it that, yeah, sure. If you want to call it that.
Obstacle course racer.
OCR. OCR. You'll see that a lot.
You're much better at that than I am.
Thanks, man. I hope so. If that's my forte, I hope I'm good at it.
Trail runner, nature rover, and purveyor of good vibes.
Yeah, that's the idea. Okay. Good vibes always.
And we have multiple conversations. We connected through social media,
mm-hmm.
and we were trying to figure out why we connected. And to be blunt, it's because of a similar background, similar upbringing, and we'll touch upon where you're from in a second, but we live in Cleveland.
Yes, sir.
Obviously, this is a Cleveland-based podcast. So if you are Cleveland-based, thank you for supporting us. If you're not from Cleveland, check us out.
Yep.
There's a lot of good stuff going
on. There is. There's some fantastic stuff. You can nerd out really hard if you watch these podcasts and learn a lot, seriously. Yes.
But there are some spots that in Cleveland that are not the best.
Yeah.
As in any city.
Mm-hmm.
What drew me to you again is we both come from when I first moved to the States, I lived in a part of town that was not necessarily again the best, and there were opportunities presented to me that with the help of my parents I was able to take advantage of.
Right on.
And
do you mind sharing that a little bit?
Nobody actually ever asked.
Yeah, let's
put him in the spot. But I went to Tremont Elementary.
Okay.
When we first moved here, and Tremont is
probably not too far from here, man.
Yeah, it's actually now a French Montessori school, which is not what it was back then.
Right.
The first apartment that we moved into was basically a living room. It was a one bedroom it was upstairs of a duplex.
Okay.
One bedroom, where my parents slept, and then four of us in the living room and a kitchen and one bathroom.
Wow.
So we lived in that space. Coming from Poland, we were the environment was a little bit more comfortable with both of my parents being doctors. So it was a major shift.
They probably told you not to be a dupayash a lot, huh?
Yeah, exactly. So it was a major shift in terms of our the comfort level that we had.
Yeah, okay.
So you got six people in a space of maybe 300 square feet or so.
That's got to be rough, man.
We got to know each other pretty well.
Finding your identity through that is tough.
Yeah. But again, enough about me, but thank you for asking.
Yeah,
but that's how I started, right? And that was like 65th, Slavic Village. Again, if you're from Cleveland, you know, back in the 90s, that wasn't necessarily the most happening place, or in Tremont, like it is right now. But again, similarities, I think, abound, because opportunities presented themselves, and you were able to necessarily, you made opportunities for yourself.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stop talking, because I think this is the most I talked.
I'm going to
blame you for asking me a question. But where are you from?
I'm originally from Brook Park.
Okay. Can you explain what kind of setting you grew up in?
Old school. And okay. I think it kind of shows in who I am. You know, my dad's dad worked at the Ford plant. My mom's dad had a stint there at some point in time. And, you know, I had to grow up listening to stories about how my grandpa's on a binger or something like that. And it starts to affect you, and you realize those things are more commonplace than not. And then you start to realize that's life. And is that all that life has for you? You know, am I supposed to just deal with it? And at a certain point in time, you're like, I'm not just dealing with it. I have to do something about this and take control myself. Because if I don't, am I going to be like grandpa? Mm-hmm. That's kind of, you know, where it takes you.
Okay.
Your mind.
So let's dig a little deeper. Yeah. What is that certain point in time? How did you recognize that there's some that isn't life, right? That's not meant to be life.
You know what? That happened for me when I was small. You just see everybody has habits, and they're very easy to peel back the layers of those habits when you take the time and you're still and you're mindful about things. And then you say, is this really what I want?
How old were you?
How old was I? Let's see. Oh, I'm sure we'll get into it a little bit more, but when I had my manic episode, around 23.
Okay.
And you just wake up from it going, wow, this is it.
How old are you now?
I'm 27.
Okay. So it's fairly recent.
Yeah, fairly recent. Okay. So then you wake up from this you know, explorative place in your mind, like, oh my goodness, you just had this aha moment. Mm-hmm. And you want to capitalize off of that. You don't just want to stay complacent. Complacency kills. You know, it's awful to feel like this is the life that is supposed to be let out for you. You know, if you want it, you can take it, but I didn't want to take that option.
Why not?
It's easy. That was the easy button. I mean, I was about to work for my service department, and they're like, I could have had a full-time job, and yeah, I could have been. I have a house right now with Hannah. Absolutely, that would be something I'd like, but I'd rather share my passion with people and be able to influence them in a positive manner versus just totally living a life that felt kind of blah. Every day would be the same.
So there are individuals that are listening or watching that might have a similar story or background like we do, right? So how do you break free? What steps did you take to...
Dude, it never ends. It never ends.
But
you know?
Take us back to the start, right?
Oh, man,
from that moment, right? So you know I don't want to be, you know, binging at whatever age.
Yeah.
And still in that same spot.
Right.
So you have that moment of realization.
Right.
What are the next steps that you take to make sure that you can continue on that path to break free?
And starting from the beginning, it's staying grounded every single day. Mm-hmm. You know, with being the way I am, being bipolar, which I'm sure we're going to do a little bit more, it's a constant battle. It's nothing is ever easy, and you feel like you have that constant chip on your shoulder, and you need to appease the people that are your people, if that makes sense. So, you know,
the people that you surround yourself with.
Yeah, the people that you grew up with, and you want to make them proud, and you don't want to sell out. So you try to keep that sense of self while you're growing and growing, but you feel like you're losing people along the way. But it's absolutely necessary to keep that sense of self and stay humbled. So you can grow from that.
Okay.
I forgot the question.
No, it's a very
Yeah, staying
point.
Grounded is the idea behind it. If I'm not doing that, I can't share it with others. It just becomes this vanity, cocky, look at me.
Yeah.
And it's probably easy to perceive it that way on Instagram and social media, you know, but that's the necessary evil of the fitness industry as well. You know, look what I can do, so you respect me.
So when did you find fitness? That might be a better question.
This is kind of hilarious. I have a picture of myself doing a planche when I was like 6-7 years old in the living room of my uncle's house. And I'm like, that was a moment. That's when I found fitness. I ran around. I was always a hyperactive kid.
So it's always been there.
It's always been there. But I look back at my life, like, I did a science experiment with one of my buddies of heart rate and music. And this was 7th grade. It was always just something I've been naturally inclined to like.
Okay.
And I just followed my passion.
When did you follow your passion?
Shoot. When did it stop becoming a hobby, I guess, is the real question.
True. Yeah, there you go. When did you take it seriously? Yeah.
Most recently, really. Okay. I had a couple stints with gyms on the West Side where you know, it didn't quite work out. I was an independent contractor and started my own business in the meantime out of necessity. So absolutely taking the leap of faith, holy crap, I don't know if I'm going to be able to put food on the table. I don't know if I'm going to be able to eat. But I had loving clientele that wanted to stick around me. And I asked why. Like, why do these people want to be around me? But I actually had something that I felt was necessary to share.
Okay.
So that's why I ended up here. And I'm so thankful to end up here. And I think I did that because I worked my butt off. And I wasn't afraid to be like, hey, look at me. Or, you know, share my passion and get deep with people. And I believe Nick actually, he senses that for me. He senses that realness.
Okay. Something you mentioned before we get too far ahead is the individuals that you surround yourself with. And Nick also, when actually in our conversation, brought up a good point that sometimes, you know, old friends go away, you make new ones, depending on where you're going. But those old friends might have a tendency to kind of pull back on you.
Yeah,
so how do
absolutely.
You, how did your environment react to you getting out of it? And how were you able to, let's say, put up the metaphorical Heisman and say, hey.
Right. And
guys,
that's exactly what it is.
I'm going to keep going.
That's what it is. It's the Heisman every single day. It's saying like, hey, man, like if you want to jump on the bandwagon with me and support me, absolutely. I will accept you because I think that's great. You know, we can put our ego to the side or whatever happened in the past or, you know, whatever preconceived notions we have of anybody. But if the opposite happens, you know, it's just a big, it's just like, there's nothing I can do for you. There's no positivity to be had. And you just cut ties. And when you cut ties, you feel like you're doing a disservice to your hometown. Mm-hmm. So it tugs at your heartstrings. I want to give back, but I'm not in the position to quite give back yet. I don't have anything, but I want to see that it's okay that you can do something and be somebody else. You don't just have to be, you know, Brooke Parker.
Yeah. You're
you know, yeah, yeah. You don't have to be just that.
Okay.
You know, there's more to life. And I think I figured that out a little bit earlier than most people do.
So I'm fascinated by your positivity.
Right? It comes and goes.
We'll get to that in a second, right? But right now you're extremely positive.
You catch me on the wrong day.
You never know what might happen. No. Yeah. All joking aside, you mentioned bipolar, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to pretend like I know anything about it. So can you just please tell the audience or the listeners what that is?
Yeah. And so I'm still kind of new to the concept because it's something that I was diagnosed with but never really fully explained. So it's polarity. You're at opposite ends of the spectrum at all times and you really lack the ability to feel middle ground. And I constantly say like my empathy chip is broken. My empathy button's broken. It's because it quite literally is.
Okay.
I feel elated and high sometimes. I feel like I'm unstoppable, which is the worst emotion ever because I know I need to stay grounded. And at the same time, 20 minutes later, I can be depressed and in the dumps and really like I physiologically cannot do anything about it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's tough.
When were you diagnosed?
About that manic episode time. I had the manic episode and it was really eye-opening.
Can you describe what happened?
Yeah. Basically, I was track season. It happens around springtime every year because weather, seasonal affective stuff, and sun, vitamin D, all that plays a big role into it.
Great place to live in Cleveland for that.
Right. So it definitely exacerbates what's going on. But just walking around campus one day and I was kind of like out of my mind. You know, I was kind of elated and I didn't think I had to go to class. And I just went and said what's up to my track coach, like everything was normal. And he's like, is everything okay? And I'm just, everything's all right. And that's where my positivity shone through. But I was absolutely out of my mind and I didn't know what was going on. So it was in that same day that I was taking a metro. My mom came. I met with like the president of the university. And, you know, they're like, hey, we really just, you know, need to seek medical attention for you right now.
How do you respond to that?
Not really knowing what was going on, I was like just kind of smiling along. And it was, that's what's kind of scary, you know, about a person with bipolar disorder is it's hard to check themselves. You know, I'm learning those triggers and things that might irritate it or, you know, make me feel odd towards somebody and learning to check my perception of the reality around me.
Okay. I was going to ask you, how do you recognize that? So how do you?
Dude, it's a grind. It's tough. It's a self-check. You know, is that something I really need to get mad over? Is that something that really irritates me? More often than not, it's nothing.
Is it learned? Is it?
It's genetic. Bipolar is highly genetic.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I phrased the question correctly. I assumed you knew what I was saying.
No, it's okay. Sorry.
No.
I can't read all those vibes.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
We're vibing pretty well.
Yeah.
But is your recognition of when you're hitting a low? or hitting a high? Is that a learned?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely, man. So it first comes in waves of, you can imagine, like coffee can really set me off sometimes, or lack of sleep and hormonal imbalances. And that's where it becomes common sense. Like, hey, don't put crap in your body and it's not going to stimulate you. Okay. So I try to keep my central nervous system stimulants down and things like that, but it's a necessity for everyday life. So I can control those components, but I can't control the surges of grandeur and, you know, feeling delusional about I have all these great abilities, because that's also something that's hard to control as well.
Okay.
Your perception is twisted by your physiology and you can't control it.
So you could hypothetically think you're, again, I don't mean to put words in your mouth.
No,
so
man.
Please educate me.
No, that's...
So is it sometimes you might feel like you're superhuman, or
absolutely.
A lot cooler?
Yeah,
or
yeah, than yeah. That's what it is.
Other days you're going to be like, all right, I'm the fucking worst of this.
Oh, dude. Okay. And you're just so fully aware of it. Yep, you feel those emotions and they well up. And you're like, oh, I'm the man. You know, when I had my manic episode, a lot of it was I was in PE modality class or something like that. Lifetime Fitness is what it was. Okay. We were doing bowling from like across the room and I hit a left-hander and I'm like, yeah, you know, I was telling the therapist that, all proud. Like, was I really that out of my mind that I was all focused on just like these little tiny tasks that nobody cared about? Absolutely. Absolutely. So hyper focus and hyper awareness of things that maybe somebody doesn't normally pay attention to.
Okay.
That's all I can focus on some days.
So is there a benefit?
Hyper focus. Yeah. I think if I can learn how to control that, okay. And that's something that I'm still learning. I'm still learning about bipolar disorder and, you know, what triggers it and affects certain things. And it's a battle every day.
Yeah.
But if I can do that, I think absolutely that's a fantastic quality. It's like having an addictive quality. Like, if you have an addictive personality, of course, you can segue that into something positive if used in the correct manner.
Perfect. How does one with bipolar disorder become a personal trainer? They seem
that's a good question, man.
On the surface, they seem at odds.
Yeah, yeah. Contrast.
Okay.
I think that's the biggest thing that people need, anyways. Uh-huh. And what most clients aren't willing to admit, they need somebody to yell at them. They need somebody to get their ass in shape and say, "Hey, let's do it." And when I'm feeling more down, that's you know, I have a tendency to go towards that.
Okay.
And there's never a wrong in that, because you're always improving somebody's life. You know, that's what I pride myself in, being able to peel back that even when I do feel kind of poopy, to be like, hey, you kicked ass and you know you did. You know, I know you did. So let's agree, fist bump, you head on your way and you just had a fantastic workout.
So there are days when you have those lows.
Oh, yeah. And you still have to do it. But my clients are so understanding.
Okay.
And most of them
are. Are you open with your clients about
it? Yeah. And I think that's why I've gotten here. You know, whatever this is so far. Uh-huh. That's why, you know, I think we're chatting right now.
All
right.
I was going to ask, how'd you end up at TAC?
Yeah. So it was, I believe, a client referral, one of my amazing clients that I've had for a while that followed me to a few facilities on the West Side. And then Nick being so receptive to like even take the time to give a shit about me.
Yeah.
You know, he's a hard-nosed guy. He'll say what's on his mind. And I'm receptive to that. Absolutely. I want that guidance. And TAC is the place to share that.
How has Nick influenced you since you joined TAC?
I love Nick. He's hard to read. Uh-huh. I'm still getting used to that part, but the essence of Cleveland, I mean, you can't be a bullshitter. You can't be full of crap. You just work.
Okay.
And working hard is what we do.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm in love with that concept, and I'm in love with that we instill that in our clients at TAC.
How has your ability to, I guess, manage, and correct me if that's the wrong
way. Yeah, that's probably the best way to put it.
Yeah. How has your ability to manage bipolar disorder shaped you and helped you get to where you are?
Man, that's also another good question. It's absolutely destroyed some of my relationships. Uh-huh. You know, it's hit the reset button for me more times than I want to admit. But it's also given me fantastic opportunities and allowed me to meet people and influence people that I never would have otherwise.
Okay.
So in that, I'm forever grateful, because why would I not be, you know?
What's if there was... I'm going to rephrase this, because I usually ask this at the end of the interviews, but what's the one thing that managing bipolar disorder has taught you about yourself?
Also another good question. It's just taught me that every day is a new day.
Okay.
When you feel down, when you feel crappy, and this is for everybody watching, you have to just take a step back and breathe. If you don't, you're just going to let it eat you alive. And there's plenty of stories of of people killing themselves, like very well respected, intelligent, can take care of themselves. Nobody knew anything was wrong. People and things going wrong with their psyche and them just not being able to deal with it anymore. So getting to this point, I'm proud. You know, I could be in the dirt. Yeah. You know, I could be in the dirt and that's how I think about it. Or I could have all sorts of bad habits and not be influencing people in a positive manner. But at least going this route, I can feel better about myself. You know, being a personal trainer and instilling that positivity into others.
Okay. And this might be the answer to the question I'm about to ask before we take a break. But what is on those shitty days?
Yeah.
Again, I'm not trying to make light of it.
No, dude, don't try to make light of it because it's not light when you're feeling that
on
gloomy.
Those shitty days, what gets you out? What's your mechanism? What's like your go to?
Evolving.
Okay.
And it's not just this is fitness in its essence is vanity, how it's perceived. Mm-hmm. But when you peel back the layers, it's all about your mind. It's can you improve from where you were yesterday? If you're not taking the time to make yourself uncomfortable, if you're not taking the time to change those small habits that you know are probably not the best, you know, that are stifling your improvement and growth, then you're going to stay complacent the entire time.
Okay.
You know, so growth is what we aspire to be. Evolving is what we aspire to do. Every single day, you're just striving to be a better version of yourself.
Awesome. I think that's a perfect spot to take a break, and we'll be right back with
more. Awesome, man. Sounds good.
Flying through this, man. Sweet.
Love to spend time outside on a bike? Sign up today for the Wabash River Ride on August 26th. Enjoy scenic vistas of the Wabash River and Big Pine Creek as you explore some of the most beautiful back roads near West Lafayette, Indiana, on routes from 34 to 105 miles. We'll have a real good barbecue lunch for you after the ride, too. Go to WabashRiverRide.com to sign up. And come on, Wabash sounds pretty awesome.
Whew. All right, man. Let's wrap it up. Not wrap it up, but...
Oh.
All right. So we could have just been tabled this whole thing.
Yeah, man.
But we are back with Corey Smirk at TAC, Chim Athletic Club. Having a great conversation. Like I just mentioned, we should have probably been taping the break. But I want to touch upon a couple of things that we did talk about during the break. And one was normal, right? And what does normal mean to you?
Exactly. What does it mean to anybody?
Yeah.
You know, trying to come up with an idea of normal is kind of silly because everybody's idea is different. And we subscribe to what we think is normal and start acting on a basis of how we think we should be. And when we subscribe to that, that's when complacency sets in. That's when bad habits set in. And that's the death of you or, you know, anybody as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And that constant evolution of your thought process. And of course, exercise is the medium for that to change is how we do it and how we stay alive.
In terms of what we should be or how we should act, the follow-up question is, do you recognize people tailor how they react to you depending on their perception of what kind of a day it is for you?
Whoa. All right. Let's slow that one down really quickly. All right. So do I react based on how I think people are reacting to me?
Yes. And do you notice people – I'm sorry. That's one. And then the flip side is do you notice people react differently because they might think it might be a good day for Corey or a bad day for Corey?
You know what? Some clients are just very understanding when I talk to them. For the most part, they can't tell. Unless it's like, hey, I'm having a bad day, you know, might need to tone certain things down or switch things up. But I guess I just have great people around me at this place. I mean, it wouldn't be happening. My personal training career wouldn't be happening if I didn't have people that weren't understanding of it and that weren't supportive of it.
Yeah.
You know, so when they can recognize certain things and say, hey, what's going on? It's helpful, but that doesn't always happen. Which is where I'm trying to have that dialogue with people in my life so I can better recognize when it does.
Okay. But the key thing is you're having a dialogue with people. You're being open about
it. So I think if I didn't, it would be very easy to dismiss a person like me.
Okay.
You know, and be like, oh, he's just this, you know, he's got a lot of energy or he's just positive, you know, and says some things, pokes his head in and leaves. But it's really not that. I'm trying to find that even keel, and if I don't have the dialogue with people, they don't necessarily understand.
So is that the one thing, and I being redundant, I use this too much,
okay.
The one thing, but...
I do it a lot, man, don't worry.
If for somebody that is dealing, that hasn't dealt with or is around somebody with bipolar disorder, what I guess, what's your advice to that person?
Have patience. Okay. Have patience. If you've ever heard anybody talking about depression, it's the worst thing you can say to a person with depression is, you're going to be all right. Just shake it off.
Yeah.
Let me just shake off my physiology and shake my chemicals into place and I'll be all good. It's understanding that it really, you can't control it. And when I'm not just being manic to get a point across, or I'm not just being depressed to make you feel for me. Okay. And try to engage in sympathetic or empathetic actions. I don't go for that. I don't subscribe to that. But I really just want you to understand so I can have a conversation with you as a human. Not everybody is receptive to that and wants to take the time to get to know you on that platform.
Right. And on the flip side, if there is somebody that has bipolar and might be listening, or might not know they have bipolar, maybe take it a step further. What are some signs that individuals might want to watch out for?
It's that inflated ego, self-inflation, and delusions of grandeur. Sort of like you have episodes of, I really want to do all these things all at once. And you have all these fantastic ideas, and they feel so real, you know. And then you realize I don't have the energy for any of that shit. You know, I just really can't do it. And the next day you're depressed, maybe because you realize you went through that manic episode. And to catch yourself in that moment and not just keep undulating, okay. And be like, look, there's a balance here, and I really want that balance. I really want certain things in my life, and if I keep following those emotions, I'm just going to keep following them. I'm never going to get anywhere.
So, what do you suggest that person does?
Find your why.
Okay.
Finding your why and creating intent in your life is the only way you're going to do that. The only way, in my opinion.
All right. So you put me on the spot during the break. Luckily, it was during the break. So I'll put you on the spot while we're taping. Okay. What is your why?
My why is be better than I was yesterday.
Okay.
At everything. You know, we can always be better. I can always handle the situation better, learn from that situation and improve, and get rid of those old habits that are, you know, from the Brook Park or doing the Heisman and separating myself from those situations. Being able to deal with it in a tactful manner and keeping a sense of self while I'm improving. It's a hard thing to do, but that's what I strive to do.
Yeah. So speaking of trying to be better tomorrow than today, or getting better every day.
You know how cliche that is, right?
Great answer, man.
Right.
You do have, like I mentioned, you do have other interests.
Yeah, absolutely.
One that we kind of share, not really, but you have a lot more experience in it. I might do it. I'm going to be doing it in a couple months.
Yeah.
But is
we need to team up, by the way. Let's train together, man.
I would love to. It's obstacle course racing.
Yeah.
How did you, when did that become part of your life?
So obstacle course racing was kind of just one of those subculture things people talked about not too long ago. Going to like the Amherst Quarry, I think, is where Tough Mudder had the very first OCR around here.
Okay.
And I just heard about it. Oh, you can do that 10-miler. It'd be easy for you, Corey. I'll just go do it. It's trails and fun. And so I never actually got around to doing that. But a personal trainer at a place I was at not too long ago, it's like, hey, man, I'm doing this Spartan race in Zanesfield at Wilds Park. And it got me all jazzed up. Like, that's what I've been waiting for. You know, an actual, like, go get primitive, not a Tough Mudder where you don't actually have a place. But I wanted to compete.
Okay.
Because you need to put yourself in that setting. If you're not in a setting where people feel like they want to be competitive, it rubs them the wrong way. So, of course, I wanted to join the elite rankings immediately.
Okay.
So I just hopped right into my first elite race.
When was this?
So it's about 3 years ago, I believe, now. And it was the Ohio Beast. I think at this point, it was a super, so it was a lower distance. And my very first race, I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, I was going to ask
you. And I
actually
failed one of the easiest obstacles.
How did you do? Yeah.
I came in fourth place, so I missed the podium. And that was actually my highest place in an OCR to date. And I messed up on one of the silliest little obstacles, and I could have done well. And, you know, I should have read the rules, man. I should have read the rules. I was too excited.
So that was your first OCR race, you came in fourth?
Yeah, my first elite race.
And that was the Beast?
That was it's now a Beast. They switched the distance, but it was a super.
How long
before.
Is the distance?
I think a super is 7 to 8, 9
miles.
But that day, they didn't let us know, and it was 12, I believe.
12 miles?
Yeah.
Okay.
Spartans notorious for just doing whatever they want and saying, Joe DeSena, deal with it. Yeah.
How many obstacles?
This one, super is around 30.
Okay. And how many other contestants or competitors in that field?
That day, I don't think all the big boys were there. Okay. But, you know, an elite race is probably 100 people.
Okay. So that's not bad.
Yeah. Depends on who shows up, who you're racing against.
Okay. Let's say you might finish top 10 instead of
Yeah, top, usually top, top 10 guy okay. in the big races.
So you did pretty well
yeah.
your first go around. Why did you do so well?
Being comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Okay.
Yeah, non-traditional training.
Like what?
We talked about a little bit before, the unilateral, the grip training, uh-huh. carrying things, carrying heavy stuff, it compressing your core. And
okay.
dealing with that is not something that normal fitness is used to,
mm-hmm.
but it's something that is absolutely necessary in OCR. And it's not a feeling that you get from gyms around here. And I'm trying okay. to bring the tech. So being uncomfortable, knowing that there is more. Knowing that you can't compete and be the best version of yourself without necessarily like, you know, pop fitness.
Yeah.
You know, fitness is real. Fitness is functional. And we have that here.
So speaking of which, how are you applying the training that you do for yourself for, I think you know where I'm going with this, for OCR to some of the clients that you work with?
Oh, man. It's a fun pursuit. So I don't know. They're around here somewhere. My Parallettes, those are my favorite piece of equipment.
Okay, those are pretty high, actually.
You know, being able to stabilize, being able to control your core, mm-hmm. that's something that isn't necessarily discussed a lot when you're just doing, again, I'll kind of use the term pop fitness, mm-hmm. where you're just doing your crunches and you're not making that mind-body connection.
Okay.
I'm sure you've seen my explore yourself every day hashtags. And
yeah.
That's what it's all about. If you're not exploring your movement bubble.
We might steal that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, go for it for sure. Just make sure yeah. you know, tell everyone where you found it.
Yeah.
But you need to explore that movement bubble.
Okay.
And if you don't, you're just being complacent.
How do your clients react?
that's the best. Or I'm not doing that again today, am I? But once they start to, like the TRX is a great example, start to move their feet underneath the anchor point and they start to get lower and they realize I have to engage my core harder mm-hmm. and my chest just got stronger for me to increase that resistance, they start to go, oh shit, like, whoa, did you just do that for me? And I go, no, you just did that for you.
Mm-hmm.
And when they have that aha moment, I just won as a trainer.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So you can't let them find their way.
No, they explore it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Specifically, so I'm going to ask some selfish questions.
Yeah.
As I'm preparing for a new challenge.
Okay.
Talking
the Spartan challenge?
Yes, okay. Exactly, Spartan race. There's a lot of, from what I've seen, for some of the obstacles, there's requires a lot of grip strength.
Lots of grip.
Lots of grip. When you're gripping tiny little ledges and stuff like
yep.
that. The way I train is I'll do a lot of farmer carries, hangs.
Yep, absolutely helpful.
Rope climbs.
Bottoms up kettlebell at all?
No.
That's
okay.
Gonna be
so that's one. So yeah. I was going to ask you what are some of the exercises that you incorporate in your training to help you with grip strength?
Nothing too crazy different from what okay. you just explained, but adding the little tips and tricks here and there. If you're going to do a lunge, instead of holding your kettlebells to the side, you know, throw that big heavy sandbag on you, put it over your shoulder. You have the thoracic compression. You have to stay upright. It's hard to breathe. What are you going to experience in the race? That exact same emotion. So okay. if you're not training that way, you're never going to be ready for it. Bottoms up kettlebell, stabilizing the wrist.
Okay.
Little things like that. Plate grab or a sandbell grab, mm-hmm. just alternating with the hands, doing an upright row. That's not something you're traditionally going to see
yeah.
anybody doing in the gym. So yeah, I get a few funny looks, but at the same time, I start to see those moves in the gym a little bit later. So something's working.
Yeah, yeah.
Something's working.
True, true. How many obstacle races do you do a year?
It depends on my pockets.
Okay, yeah, gotcha,
you know,
gotcha.
So whatever I can get my hands on and go yeah. to.
So where'd you put that fit aid? Maybe we can get it.
It's over there. You want to?
So if Aaron's listening, fit aid sponsor this man.
Yeah, fit aid.
But you've also established, a collaborative group here.
Yeah, the Cobra.
Yeah.
They have an obstacle course race.
Yeah. What is the purpose? What is the mission of that group?
It's just to expand the growth of OCR
okay.
and spread the love of the sport because it is so brand new.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all community driven. So
okay.
it started off with, let's see, my girlfriend and I and maybe 3-4 other people, my best friend Gurgle, and just meeting at Maple Grove in the park. I mean, mm-hmm. we don't have a location. I just showed up with tree stumps in my car and said, hey, you guys want to carry this up a hill and like sprint afterwards and then go running on the trail? And, you know, my crazy zany friends are like, hell yeah.
Uh-huh.
But it was really hard to get the ball rolling. And
okay.
once we finally did, we started having meetups at ninja gyms and non-traditional training. And man, it started to explode. So now we have But I think I invited you to the group online, over 30 people that, you know, chime in here and there. Hey, you guys want to go for a run on Saturday?
Yeah, I don't have anything to chime in.
Yeah, but that's what it's about. We include anybody and everybody of all skill levels that just want to be different and that are quirky. And it's usually the obstacle course racers, the ninja people that like to do that stuff. Yeah.
So speaking of ninjas,
yeah,
you threw your hat in the ring for American Ninja Warrior.
I did. Reluctantly so, but I think it was
why reluctantly?
You know, because trying to share my story, and mm-hmm. I think this interview helped me out a lot. Who wants to hear it?
Yeah,
and that's a lot of what I'm going through right now. Is it is a selfish pursuit, just trying to get myself right. Mm-hmm. But I want to share that story because I think I represent the millennials, absolutely, the people that just want more and.
Darn millennials.
I want more, man. Yeah, those darn millennials. And I feel the same way about myself, but it's necessary.
Okay.
It's absolutely necessary for growth.
What do you think when you get accepted, when your application gets approved, what are you hoping to get out of it besides that?
No, man, really. That whole fame, fitness thing left me a long time ago.
Okay.
You know, that's what it started for. I started my Instagram because I wanted to simply just hold myself accountable for calisthenics. Mm-hmm. And then I realized people were like, hey, man, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, I want to do some more of that. But so that left, and I really just want to spread the word about positivity. And like, this world is a pretty nasty place right now. Yeah. All these politics and things that are going on right now. Let's separate ourselves from that. Can we be normal again? What's the new evolution? And I think we're on the verge of that. People are sick of whatever this emotion is, whatever this anxiety is, and we need to resimplify our life to maybe feel normal again, whatever that is. But it's definitely not watching, you know, our president-elect on TV. That's not what does it for me.
Yeah, got you. All right, politics aside, I don't want to offend anyone.
No, me neither, man.
What's next for you, man?
What's next? Just continuing to provide positivity where I can. You know, seeing a need and trying to fulfill it. So that could mean anything.
Yeah,
that could mean very anything. True.
Leaving it wide open.
Yeah, leave it open.
Thanks,
it always
man.
Is. It always is. Yeah.
Where can people find you?
Oh, catch me on the Instagrams, k.smirk.
Okay.
It's not always 100% positive because I keep it real, of course, but I think that's why it's relatable.
Yeah.
But when it is positive, of course, you can take something from it. You can always learn some new moves on my Instagram account.
Yeah, here's my bad joke of the day. You can tell Corey's having a good day or a bad day by following him on social media.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But
you also have a Facebook page too, right?
Yeah, Corey Smirk Fitness, if you want to check that out. It's basically an extension of my Instagram, but I do include like when I train and things like that. So if you want to train with me, usually that's an option. Yeah.
And you're obviously here at TAC.
Definitely come check me out at TAC. This place... Shameless plug, it's the best in Cleveland, for sure. I mean, we have all the toys, we have the best staff, and, you know, we have the cleanest facility, I can say, around, so.
In Cleveland proper, I would say, I might have to argue in terms of general Cleveland.
Yeah.
Make my
I haven't checked out a lot of the other facilities.
Yeah. But that said, if there is one thing, so here's my one thing question for at the end of the interview. If something you want to stick in someone's mind that we talked about for the last, you know, 40 minutes or so in terms of, you know, breaking free in terms of the environment, managing bipolar disorder. We only touched upon OCR, but obviously kind of covered as well. What's the one thing you want to be the takeaway for the audience be listening or viewing?
It's really simple. It never gets easier. You only get stronger. I'm going to be cliche one more time.
Yeah.
But that never gets old. You need to re-evolve, be a different version of yourself every single day to be whatever you want to be. And if you're willing to be something different and to learn something different, then the world's yours. And I think it's okay to be confident in that pursuit. Don't listen to the people that are the ones trying to pull you down from that pursuit.
Yeah.
That's plain and simple. Just don't listen to those naysayers. Keep your head up.
Awesome. Corey.
Keep your head up. Do the Heisman from those people.
We might have to take a picture of the Heisman for a cover photo.
Dude, the Heisman, man. That's what you have to do. It never gets easier. You're always thinking about those people. You just have to not give a fuck.
Yeah, and move on. Corey, man, it was a pleasure.
It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me, man. No, thank you for having me.
Listen, an honor, man. Honor. Thank you for sharing the thank you. Honestly, I sometimes have difficulty talking when I get all emotional on the podcast.
Hey, we're like each other, man.
It's for some reason... It might be difficult for others to share their stories.
Yeah.
So I think when people like yourself are open about it, to individuals like myself that might not understand the issue or not be familiar with it, I think that's very powerful.
So, thank you for providing the medium for me to do so. I've never openly shared my story, so this is the first time. I really appreciate that.
All right, Corey.
Thank you.
Brother, thank appreciate you very much. It, take care, guys.
Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's a wrap on another episode of Uncharted Performance. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed the episode, please take a moment and leave a rating and review on iTunes. Let us know when and where you're listening by tagging us at Uncharted Performance on Instagram and or at Reach Uncharted on Twitter. Each month, we will select a winner to win a special prize. For this month, we're giving away a copy of the Squat Bible from Dr. Aaron Horschig. Take care for now and see you next time. And don't forget to use the code Uncharted for 10% off on strength.com on all their high quality supplements. Rage on, UP Nation, and reach the Uncharted.